Now, if I mention rah-rah skirts being ripped off, audiences of a certain age will automatically be transported back to the 80s, and that moment when the female members of pop group Bucks Fizz made a lasting impression. Now, I caught up with Bobby G, the originator of Bucks Fizz, prior to his appearance at the Epsom Playhouse a few months ago, and this is what he had to say about that famous moment. And I'm very delighted to be speaking with Bobby G. Welcome to the show. Thanks very much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
Now, of course, you're no stranger to music. By the time the Eurovision Song Contest catapulted you into the media, you were already in a rock band at 14. Tell us about how that got started.
Yes, at school, actually, with my friend Chris and Julian, and we had a band, and I suppose we modelled ourselves a bit on sort of Jimi Hendrix, so it's slightly different to what I'm doing now. But, you know, that's where it all stemmed from there.
Yeah, that's where you got the bug from.
Yeah.
Now, of course, when you auditioned in 1981 for songwriter manager Nicola Martin, did you have any idea that it would grow to be as successful as it was?
Not at all, actually. When I did, I was actually working in the West End at the time in Jesus Christ Superstar, and it was right at the end of the run, and there was about a three-month break before it went on tour around the country, and I'd been offered the tour, so it was just something I was going to slot in for that 3 months, and here I am 30 years later.
Absolutely, well, it did very well, didn't it? Now, of course, is there a story behind naming the group Bucks Fizz?
Well, basically, it was Nicola Martin's favourite drink. Not that she was had a problem with it, but she did rather a lot. So it was her favourite drink, and what happens is you get the song first, and then you enter it into the competition. So there's no artist, there's no nothing, and you just have to put down the name of the people that are going to perform it. Of course, we didn't exist at that time, so she made up Bucks Fizz, and they had another song in that they put in, which they called Gem. But they were just song, you know, just titles for bands, you know, off the top of her head.
Yeah, and it stuck rather well, didn't it? Did it take her long to make her mind up?
Well, I think once it won the Eurovision, she was laughing. So
absolutely, yeah. Well, of course, many aspiring singers who watch the likes of the X Factor know the power of entering the competition. Was the band set up with the intention to enter the Eurovision Song Contest?
Absolutely. It was, although I suppose the difference was that we were all professionals working in the business, so it was the coming together of different people rather than, you know, auditioning people. So generally it was, I suppose, the way that you would cast any, if you was looking for, you know, cast members for a play, you'd go around and you'd source them from different things. So it was more in that kind of line that it was put together. But it was very much manufactured just for... Well, first of all, the preliminary contest is the Song for Europe, which is just in the UK. Mm-hmm. So it was just for that, and there was just eight songs put in for that, so we were just put together for that, because nobody knows where it's going to go. So that was as the extent of our contract was, if you don't win this, let's all go and do something else.
That's honest.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it must have felt great representing the UK in the 1981 Eurovision Song Contest. Well, of course, you famously won. Did you feel a huge sense of responsibility, but also subsequent pride?
Well, a lot of people, they ask you, you know, what was it like winning the contest? And actually, the winning of the contest is a bonus. The whole part of it is, as you say, it's like entering the Olympics. If you're the team that's chosen to go forward and represent your country, that you do get an immense amount of pride for that in itself. So, you know, I know a lot of people, they talk about, you know, that we're not going to win it this year, or, you know, nobody votes for us and stuff. But the whole point is that for the artist, it's about representing your country. And even when you win the Eurovision, you know, what you actually get is a gold disc. The same as, you know, no different to sort of winning the Olympics. So there's no prize money, there's nothing else. You win that gold disc, and that's what you've prized for winning the Eurovision. But it's about representing your country, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Making Your Mind Up did sell 4 million copies worldwide, which is no mean feat, and it was a number one. And
yeah.
Bucks Fizz really was one of the biggest groups in the 1980s, and I, for one, grew up singing all the songs, The Land of Make-Believe, Camera Never Lies, and you had more number ones with them. What do you believe makes a number one record?
Well, obviously, it's all about record sales and about promotion and about having the right team behind you. We were very fortunate at the time. Winning the Eurovision obviously gave us the publicity, and it put us on like the first rung of the ladder, really. But everybody was aware of us, or a lot of people were aware of us from that. The real challenge was to come out with a second song and a third song that the public could enjoy and relate to just for the music itself. And we had a great team of writers. Well, basically Andy Hill was our main writer and producer. Obviously Nicola Martin, who run the production company, and RCA Records. And we just had a great team of people. We played our part, we sung the songs, you know, performed them well. But you have to say, it's about the whole team. It's not just about the acts.
Of course, I mean, you say about performing them well. And the moment that really remains with a number of people, including myself, is in the song Making Your Mind Up, when the skirts of Cheryl Baker and Jay Aston were ripped off. What's the story behind that?
It was one of them things. Do you know, there's so many people make claim for it being their idea. I think it was just a throwaway line from sort of Nicola that, you know, as we were sort of discussing costumes and what they should be, there was the miniskirt obviously showing the legs, but the song is a bit sort of rock and roll. So it just evolved out of that. It kind of evolved from an idea that she had, but it certainly is the best cheat in the world. I mean,
no, it's a fantastic moment, isn't it? And of course, a night of nostalgia and great fun awaits audiences coming to the Epsom Playhouse on the 4th of March, 8 p.m. And of course, you're a local man, so I guess it must be a great joy to play on that stage.
I've watched the place being built many years ago. I was born in Epsom, and I lived in the area for the first 40 years of my life, which wasn't a lot of it, because I'm getting on of it now.
Yeah.
But I was a local builder. That was I had a family. My family were builders, and I worked for them when I left school. So, you know, I was around the area all the time, and it's just nice to be able to go back there. I mean, I have a lot of friends, a lot of family in the area. We now live in Devon. But it is, you know, we're there quite a lot. And it's great just to get back and, you know, it's where I started. I used to work in all the pubs and the clubs around there just as a solo singer, stuck in the corner, as we all started, doing my training, as it were. So, you know, it's nice to go back and perform for them.
Lovely. So audiences, what can audiences expect on the 4th of March?
Well, the show base is it's performed by My Bucksfizz. Obviously, it's evolved over the years and we've got different members. But what we do is we still include a lot of the Bucksfizz songs, but we also sing a lot of the songs that have influenced us and mean something to the group, people that we've worked with or people that have written songs for us and stuff. So there's quite a few covers. I mean, we do a Meatloaf song because Meatloaf wrote a song for Bucksfizz, and we do Billy Joel songs and stuff. So there's quite a variety. But I suppose one of the main things for us is it uses all our own production team, and we have for the past few years been producing. We've got an audio visual company, so we have screens and we have a backdrop of different different film shots and stuff like that. So it's a journey through Bucksfizz rather than just we're going out there and being a pop group. So it's got a little bit more of a theme to it, and it seems to be doing really well. So.
Yeah, sounds a great night, and a great night with lots of fizz.
Lots of fizz, a few dancers, but a bit of fizz as well. So.
Oh yeah, the fizz dancers, look forward to that. Now, of course, that's fantastic. So thank you very much. We're going to be in for a treat when they pop along to the Epsom Playhouse. So thanks so much for your time,
Bobby. Absolute pleasure.
Lovely talking to you.
You too.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
And that's Bobby G, and he's going to be along with the fizz dancers at the Epsom Playhouse on the 4th of March. As I say, that's when I caught up with Bobby G, when, guess where, he was coming to the Epsom Playhouse. And you can catch him because he's still on tour. Radio.